Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Hot Rod. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And on the phone line, I have
the one and only Sean Black. And, of course, we have
She did not call in yet, but she will be on in a few minutes.
Okay.
For the time being, of course, you know, there's a lot to talk about tonight, and I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of things to vent, of course. So, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call in to vent or to ask any questions or give us your thoughts on anything is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Amitra B has just joined us. Thank you for joining us, Amitra B.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Before I get started on my speech, Sean Black, can you do a favor and read off a list that I sent you a couple of days ago?
Yes, I will. Cedric Barty, Sean Bell, Ricky Aboyd, Mike Brown, John Crawford, Irvin Edwards, Jonathan Farrell, Eric Garner, Ramarley Graham, Oscar Grant, Freddie Gray, Akai Gurley, Eric Harris, Katherine Johnston, Thaddeus McCarroll, Tamir Rice, Walter Scott. Those are the names, as many, many, many other names that have gone out are of victims, African-American, that have died directly or indirectly by cops.
That's just a handful
of names.
Well, thank you for that. The reason I asked for that list for because, forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm tired. Because Sean Black told me the first story about Louisiana, the first I don't want to talk about.
Yeah, it sounds like you're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, you are. Hello?
Yeah, you still there?
I think he may have disconnected.
Ooh. Well.
He'll get back on.
Yeah. Basically, what I think he's getting at is that we already know, based on all of the stuff that has happened over the last Lord knows how long, we've talked about this topic before, about minorities, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, getting unfair treatment when it comes to being either arrested or unfortunately shot and killed by police. And I don't think I need to reiterate anymore what the sentiment around the country has been, because we talked about this before. We know that this has happened because it's been going on worldwide. It's an obvious newsworthy
Hello?
Story. Yeah.
Oh, he's back.
Yes.
Yes, of course, you know, Blog Talk Radio is trying to stop the power once again.
Of course.
Shut me down. But they ain't going to shut me down. But like I was saying before, I was really interrupt. Like I said, I was sick and tired of talking about these stories over time because one thing on the show, we kind of praise the cops. We try to say they are good cops, bad cops. But it seems like these negative stories keep happening over and over again. And I asked various people, where should I start addressing this situation? Because I'm just sick and tired of talking about this again. Some people gave me a few ideas, but our producer probably told me the best thing to say is, Hot Rod, it's your show. Just do what you do best and piss people off with the absolute truth. Sean Black, thank you for mentioning all these names that there are no victims of police killing.
Mm-hmm.
But does anyone know that in this year alone, 2016, there have been a total, this is a report, so do not quote me on this. I just did some research. There have been, so far in 2016, 509 citizens that have been killed by the police. Compared to last year, it has been a grand total of 909 people killed by police reported.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Washington Post. But these are the numbers that's kind of scary and make you want to think what is going on. Out of all the people that got killed this year so far have been 484 males, 25 females. But this is what I want people to start thinking about very carefully, because I know people are ready to argue with me about this. Out of all the killers, 238 have been white people. 123 has been black people, 79 Hispanic, and 69 other. The reason why I brought this up is I know it's like Anisha say all the time how, you know, when the news sells, there's always a black and white. Where is the so-called white lives matter, or the Asian lives matter, or the Hispanic lives matter? Why is always the black lives matter? Why is the media always focusing between a white cop and a black guy? We all know the answers, but I don't think people really see the truth behind it. Like, for example, did we know that last weekend a gentleman by Dylan Noble was killed by a cop in Fresco, California, because he carried a rifle? He walked towards the cop and they shot him. Does anybody know about that? Maybe people in California, but it was not nationwide news. Why? Because a white cop killing a white kid who's 19 years old. There was a black kid named Rodney who got shot by a cop who carried a gun. We've been all over the news on CNN. It will be protests and riots.
Not if it was a black cop killing a black kid.
That's the key thing. It always has to be down to a race between black and white. What happened to the story that happened in Brooklyn a few weeks ago? Not too far where I live. It was a black cop who killed a black driver in a road rage. And they even twisted the story about that a little bit. I mean, it made news, but it wasn't nationwide. But why? It was a black on black. That's the way people see it. So, in other words, does black lives really matter? What is this group is all about?
About the hype. Why do you think, I mean, not to sound disrespectful, but that's why I really don't buy into it. Because the only time people get really hype and get all proud and start, you know, chanting and ranting and raving is when it's newsworthy.
Well,
when it's not newsworthy, you don't hear social media blowing up about it.
Well, see, here's the thing, and I think I think this is what is the disconnect, especially with white Americans that don't understand the whole Black Lives Matter movement. What I think is that when I hear other people that are skeptical of the movement or don't know what the movement is about, I think the premise behind it is that that sticking point of the whole Black Lives Matter. And I think there's a difference between somebody saying Black Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter more than your life. And I think what the majority of the media has is that when they put it out there to everybody to listen to and for everybody to see, I think that African Americans that are for the movement are looking at it as we should not be overlooked. We should have the same rights as everybody else. Our lives matter. Where I see a lot of, and then I've heard this in interviews and on TV and in the newspaper and on the internet, a lot of white people that don't understand that movement are looking at it as it sounds racist because it's only about black people, or black people are only bringing attention to something about black matters or black issues or the plight of the African American. And I think if you look at it from that standpoint, that's where the disconnect is.
I think it's a little more than that, Sean. I think it's a lot of it is also where people pick and choose whose life matters.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only time it really matters is when it's racially motivated, to be honest with you. Because honestly, like Rodney just said, the shooting that happened in East New York, I didn't see it blow up on social media. I didn't see people flipping out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that boy that got killed in Chicago. What was it, like 6 months ago? The little boy who was gang-related?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see social media blowing up about that. I didn't see people getting pissed off. Or it, to me, it looks like it only matters when it's racially motivated, which is ridiculous.
And that's the
everybody's life should matter.
That's the media disconnect. That's the problem that everybody, when we talk about these kinds of issues, there's that disconnect. And a lot of people who are either against the movement or either don't understand that movement think that it's just, you know, a bunch of black people going out and saying things because they don't think they're getting equal rights or whatever is the case. And
Sean, I understand that, but let's talk about other people. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, black, white, Chinese, everybody quotes as a Black Lives Matter. The problem I have overall, you know, I will say this a thousand times, they are good cops, they are bad cops. Unfortunately, the media, because they love all the attention, that they focus on the negativity of the cops. I love cops, but just like politicians, just like lawyers, just like doctors, just like teachers, just like the commercial guys, Jared the subway guy. Everybody thought he's a nice guy, but apparently he's a child person. There's some good people, there's some bad people. But fortunately, we have to focus on the bad people because we love negativity. This country loves negative. This country loves drama. I don't care who they are. Everybody loves drama to a certain degree. But now, if we all attacking cops, now we got cops waiting for their lives, and we're waiting for our lives from the cops. So, it's like, okay, once again, over 400 white people have been killed. That's almost double than the black people. So why are we focusing on the black children?
The reason why is because although out of those numbers, there's 123 black people were killed by cops, African Americans are only 13% of the population. So even though it's a lesser number, it's a bigger percentage of the African American community that's being killed. And that's the disturbing part of it. It's not about the number. It's the percentage of the population of that particular race that is being basically exterminated in the eyes of most people. And these kinds of instances have happened on a regular basis over and over again. A lot of times it's been marginalized. A lot of people that are in higher places that have power to talk about certain things marginalize the situation. And I'll give you a perfect example. And you and I talked about this off air just earlier this morning. Rudy Giuliani was actually on Face the Nation on Sunday, and they were asking him about the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and he was talking about why you think this, all of these things happen. And the issue that he brought up was that the reason why it happens is there is a disrespect of African Americans towards police. And there should be more respect towards police, and if they treat police nicer or in a better way, then these kinds of things would not happen. Well, I have to say one thing. If anybody who is thinking that just because an African American placates a cop in that sense and that's going to make sure that they're taken care of, doesn't happen. By and large, that does not happen. And the problem is a lot of people in white America don't identify with that because the perception over the years, and this is just statistically, is that the color of your skin a lot of time dictates what you can and cannot get out of. The perception based on stereotypes, whether it's the way a cop was raised before he became a cop or before she became a cop, interactions that have happened in their lifetime. As that goes older and older, you start to see those stereotypes perpetuated in the areas where these cops are patrolling and are in their precincts. And then that starts to permeate.
Okay, excuse me 1 second. Sean, 210, you on the air? Hello?
Hey, what up? This is Brother B. What's up, y'all?
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
Brother B. What's up? I'm just kicking back listening.
Okay.
Feel free to jump in, just let me know. Go ahead, Sean Black.
Yeah. Now, as I'm looking at all of the stuff that has happened, and I've listened to a lot of politicians talk, I've listened to celebrities talk, I've listened to regular everyday people talk, the perception, as I just stated a little earlier, is that because of the skin that you have, there are, for a lot of white people, privilege or ways to get out of certain things that would normally escalate other instances when it comes to the police. I have seen, and we've joked about this before, how many times have you looked at that TV show Cops and you've seen a Caucasian person who is supposedly getting arrested or is about to get arrested say the most outlandish, stupid things to the cop and cursing the cop out, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and da-da-da-da-da, and my dad will have your badge and you'll never – and not necessarily get away with it, but get treated with much more respect than an African-American who isn't even saying anything and has to deal with that same arrest and is either going to get a knee in his back or put to the ground or aggressively arrested much differently or handled in a different way. And these are the kinds of things that happen. That whole list of people that I read earlier, a good chunk of those people did not have that issue. One person in here that kind of threw me off was Katherine Johnston. She was a 92-year-old woman who was living in her own apartment when there was a false drug raid where they bust into her front door. Now, she had a gun. I believe she had a license to carry. She heard the commotion of the cops busting in her apartment. They're looking for drugs. She doesn't have any there. She shoots, I believe she shot in the air, and the cops shot her and killed her. 92-year-old woman.
Okay,
These kinds of things are what disconnects people from that.
You was out there. She shot. Once you hear a gunfire, you're going to shoot too. Whether it was a one shot or not, it was a shot fire, right?
Yeah. But also, like I said before, a 92-year, not a teenager, not a 20 or 30-year-old, a 92-year-old woman reacting to somebody busting through her front door unprovoked. How would you react if that happened?
Sean, it could be miscommunication. We wasn't there. We don't know. You're going by what you heard.
No, I'm going by what was documented. And what was documented was they had the wrong address. They bust into the front door. Kicked it in. Now think of any elderly person that you know of by themselves in an apartment and somebody bursts through your door. How do you react?
Of course, I will get my gun and try to shoot somebody. But once again, these things happen. Miscommunication happened. You wasn't there. Were the cops wrong to fire? I don't know. You got to look at both sides of the story.
I've looked at
a 92-year-old lady.
Yeah,
herself, and the cops are defending themselves also, to a certain degree. And remember, story changes all the time. Remember the thing in Brooklyn, they say the cop was getting punched in the head. Apparently, when I saw the video, I was very upset. The cop was not getting punched in the head. The guy went towards the window, out of road rage, and boom, shot him right there. We don't know what really happened. Not what you read is always the truth. Let's keep that in mind. Go ahead.
If you don't mind, could I say something real quick?
Yes, brother.
My issue has always been and always will be the hiring practice, the psychological. My thing is, not everybody deserves that badge, man. Like, just because, like, the police officer doesn't mean, just because they have the job of police officer doesn't mean that they're about the oath that they take. A lot of people forget that it's a job. And a lot of these guys are cowards. A lot of them also, I respect the ones that want to do it because they want to do something for the community or they want to make a change. I respect the ones that do it because the other ones that do it because they're like, hey, I want to do my 25 years and have a nice pension and I'm out. But then you have those who have their own personal agendas. You have those cats, and I know a few of them, who used to get their lunch snatched in high school, who used to get bullied and picked on. So what do? They become a cop, and then they feel brave. And then they turn around, and that cowardness is suddenly gone. But then again, when a situation happens, that's when their bravery is tested, and a lot of them fold. What happened in Minnesota? Dude folded. what happened in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I believe those two individuals, they had their own personal agendas. You listen, it's not far-fetched to think that there's some individuals out here who have that mind who just want to inflict harm on somebody because maybe there was harm inflicted on them or that's just their nature. But when I look at the Minnesota situation, there's a few things that could have been done a different way, but I don't expect everybody to agree with me, and I don't blame it on Mr. Castillo. May he rest in peace. But listen, there's already a fear when they see a black man. With a lot of them, there's already this fear. So, what do you think happens when there's a black man who says, "I have a gun," or "I have a gun license," but all they hear is "gun"? Then fear goes into panic. Because remember, these guys are trying to get home at the end of the night the same way as any one of us, or at the end of the tour, or at the end of the day as any one of us. So it goes into, they go into panic mode. And the whole thing is, some of those guns, from Glocks to whatever, have a 3 to 5 pound trigger pull. It ain't nothing for just automatically just get that nervous twitch and boom, somebody's dead. Or somebody just panics and just starts shooting. Not anybody can say that they will be in control of their emotions, but when it hits the fan and you're a cop and then you hear gun, once again, you're and it's sad to say, but when you're looking at sometimes some people, when they're looking at a black man, they go into panic. There are cops out there who just look at a black man as you're a regular human being. I'm just trying to go home at the end of the night. So sometimes it may be an issue of color. It may not. I don't know if he was a racist. I don't know if those other two cops were racist because I don't know them personally. But all I know is it's just bad policing. You gotta
you really
gotta look at it from that end. Some of these guys are not built for the badge.
Okay, I believe you on that part. Okay, let me give you an example from Mike Huckabee. He argued that national concerns about police killing of black men are blown out of proportion. Do you think he's right?
Yeah, I agree. Listen, cops go out there and kick at anybody's ass. I mean, mm-hmm. What last week there was a kid in California. He was shot. He was an unarmed white kid. He was shot by police. Listen, the media just blows this whole thing out.
I just told that story before you called it.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people know about that story.
Because the whole media don't want you to jump on that.
Exactly.
So, okay, hold on. I got K-Dog on the line. You know, K-Dog got to say his piece. K-Dog?
Hey, good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing?
Hey, what's going on?
What up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, brother? Well, here we are. Once again, you know, all I got to say is before I get started, I just want to say rest in peace to Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. We all know the two men who died at the hands of the police, and it's a shame that it has to happen all over again. And while we're on the subject of this, I was just reading in the New York Times that there's been some new evidence in a study conducted by a professor from Harvard, Ronald G. Fryer Jr., where he did a surprising new evidence showing bias in police use of force. But guess what? The study doesn't show that the shootings are racially biased. That shocks me. That's shocking to me.
Why are you shocked by that?
Yeah, because, you know, let's face it, most of the people who were shot and killed by the police have been people of color. Let's face it, brown and black people are being murdered by police.
But that's what the media wants you to believe, sadly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like you said, is that black men and women are treated differently by the police when they are, you know, they're the ones that are most likely to be handcuffed, pushed to the ground, pepper sprayed, beaten up, whatever. But he said that the shootings are not racial. They don't show that it's a problem with race. Now, the thing is, in wake of these shootings that happened, you know, when you light up a match to a fuse, you know, what do you think it does? It explodes. Now, when I first heard about the Alton Sterling shooting, I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. And this time, people are catching these things on videos. They're using their phones. And this is the thing about modern technology. They're using their phones to capture what's going on. And, well, we all know what happened to Alton Sterling. He was just a man just selling TVs. He wasn't really doing anything wrong when somebody called the cops. And even the store owner himself even said that that guy never did anything wrong. And the next day we hear about Philando Castile shot in front of his four-year-old girl, in front of his girlfriend and four-year-old girl. Now, this is the thing that's going on now that people don't realize is that what people thought was dead in 2016, it's alive and well. It's out there. And whenever we look at, whenever we stare at things, like let's just say when it comes to the black man always poses as a threat, no matter what.
Whether Peter, we fail to realize once again, white people are killed by cops, and more white people kill cops overall so
yeah.
far.
Of
not
course.
Us.
No, it's not us, and that's what's going on. Because, you know, when you look at these stories, like let's just say if you were to tune into the ID channel or the Forensic Network, you see these kind of crimes happening. You see about state troopers being murdered by white men. But yet, the media shows that the black man is the most dangerous species, and it's not true. You know, and I'm not trying to pull up a race card, but I'm just going to be honest and truthful about it, because I'm not trying to say that I'm anti-police. Because, let's face it, we do need the police, but at the same token, you have those who take their role as policemen to a different level of negativity, where they use that level to abuse others. That's
yeah.
what we're
okay.
seeing now.
There seem to be a lot of people that take that power that they get from being a police officer. They've
exactly.
never had power in their lives, and this is the first time that they've got some kind of power, and they
yeah.
lord it over other people.
Exactly.
Okay.
You see it time and time again.
Okay, I remember Brother B mentioned this on the menu, that one of the best ways is comply with the officer. So, Brother B,
yeah.
what? I mean, Sean and I, we had this argument yesterday. What happened when you try to comply with the officer and it still doesn't work out and he's still dead? Does complying really work for a black person now in these days? The reason
yeah.
I say that, but let's admit, some of these situations, we don't know the whole story, but it happens. You know, retaliation, resisting arrest, and go overboard sometimes. You have to, sometimes the cop overreacts. But what happens if you try to comply? You put your hands up. My wallet's in my pocket. Or you say I have a gun and a permit. But you still get shot. Like,
see,
how can you convince
thing.
Us to comply?
But they say that's the thing. If you look up the definition of resisting or resist, if I ask you, yo, Hot Rod, I need some potatoes. And then you say, well, I don't know about that. I got to see it. You know what I'm saying? It could be interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
Interpretation and perception is very big. And if they interpret that you're resisting, then they're going to label you as resisting. If you move a certain way, it can be interpreted. See, that's one thing that we fail to realize. You have people who come on the scene to control the situation. If they feel that they're not in control of the situation, you're going to have a bad day. You don't have a lot of rational people in that uniform. I mean, come on, look at a couple of months ago. You just had some chiefs and captains brought in by the FBI for bribes. Come on, they're people. They do dumb things. What makes them any different? Just because they're a cop, they're supposed to be held to some higher standard? It's a job. It's a job, and you must take it as such. They're scared. So it's like, yo, even if you're going to comply, you know what? You may have a cop one day that's just an antagonist. He's just like, I'm having a bad day, so you're going to have one too. So he's going to try and do anything and everything to get your goat. But you know what you got to do? Just like that coworker who tries to get you on your nerves or your boss to try to get you on your nerves, you know, you just smile and wave, boys. Just smile and wave. Okay, officer. All right, no problem. I've done it before. Okay. One called me and said, oh, you being a smart ass? I said, officer, I'm not being a smart ass. You asked me to do this. You asked me to say this. I'm giving you what you want. But see, you also have people who have a problem with that. They have some of them have a problem with you complying because then that means they can't get over. That means you're taking the fun. They're trying to piss you off, and you're taking the fun out of it by doing everything that they ask. I mean, come on, it's the nature with some humans. It is what it is. Like I said, that uniform is no different to a degree from the job that you go to, the job that I go to. The only thing is they're out there to uphold the law. Serve and protect who? It doesn't say really serve and protect the people. It's about the law. They're there to uphold the law. And if you go in a corner and piss somewhere, you're breaking the law, they're going to get you. You throw some gum out the window, you're littering, they're going to get you.
You know, let me use a personal story with my experience with the police. That one time I was coming from the library, and a car pulled up right next to me, and it was four guys that got out, four white guys, and they pulled out their badges saying, we're police officers. I had my hands in my pocket immediately. I just kept silent, and they asked me where I was coming from. I said, I'm coming from the library, and the first thing that the officer said was, oh, there's no need for you to get upset, and I wasn't, even though deep inside I was. Now, was I frisked? Yes. But you know what I did? I kept a cool head. I kept a cool head. And this is one of the things that we have to teach our young men what to do when you are stopped by a police officer. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Brother B. You have to really have a strong heart. You have to have strength inside of you to know to keep calm. Because you know what? The best way to avoid a situation is to stay cool. If a police officer stops you on the street, there's no need for you to run. There's no need for you to curse. There's no need for you to get an attitude. Just comply.
True. Okay. Because that sounds positive, Kato. But what happens when you have TV and social media that keep feeding poison the young people, poison mind,
and
with
that,
all that
and
negativity,
that,
all that anger. And
you
that's
know
why
what
you have
it is?
Black, that's why you have all this protest going on right now.
Yeah, because you know what it is? Even Black Lives Matter, even a lot of people. Now everybody, I could say this to everybody. There was a infomercial, like a few people made infomercials on social media about having that talk with your children about what to do when you're being stopped by a cop. That's a start. You have to have that talk. As a parent, forget social media, forget all these people, these negative people trying to influence the child to do something crazy. As parents, and I'm sure you know, you Hot Rod, Brother B, you guys got to have that talk with your children. Tell them what to do with, you know, as they get older. Tell them what to do when they're being stopped by a police officer.
But you know what's sad?
Yeah.
You know what's sad? I'm gonna tell you something. My kid's mother was a cop.
Mm-hmm.
Her little brother's father is a cop.
Yeah.
And they're very different attitudes. I mean, he's the best guy in the world. He's like, he's
right.
Great, like me and him talk on the regular.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
As for my kid's mother, well, that's another story. But her attitude that she had on the job and with the job, and I used to tell all the time, I said, you're the type of cop that can go out there and get your dumb ass shot. Because that attitude that you have, you don't need it. And when it comes down to my daughter, I used to tell my daughter, I said, you see how your mother acts? I said, you need to don't adopt that attitude, because that attitude, you go out in the world, that attitude will get you beat up. it's hard, sometimes it's hard, you know what I'm saying, as a parent, and there are kids out there who don't have parents. They don't have individuals to tell them this
stuff. Right.
The thing is, we, anyone, human, white, black, whatever, we rush to emotion. The
yeah.
first thing we rush to, when you get caught off guard and you're like, hey, well, what am I doing? I didn't do anything. And see, right there, once you bring it up a notch, they automatically bring it up a notch.
Oh,
see,
yeah,
that's the whole thing. It's the element of surprise. They go out there, they grab you on something, and you're like, well, what did I do? Like, and they tell you, shut up, and this is that, and third. A lot of them are antagonists. Remember,
yes,
I remember one cop told me best. She said, you see me in this uniform? She said, I may be in this uniform for my whole career because I'm not going to kiss ass and I'm not going to sleep with somebody to either make rank or get off the street. See, that's the thing. We don't know what they go through internally. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? They have their own internal beefs, politics. Like, people are angry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some people get that job and then they turn around and find out that's not what they wanted, but what are they going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, so once again, sometimes we have to look at it, you know, once again,
both
for
ways.
The job aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
we can't always look at them or see, the media is going to villainize them
yeah.
because, oh, you know, oh, they're beating another black person. They're beating this person. Like I said, they're whipping ass all over. So what are you going to do? Listen, Black Lives Matter. But once again, I have to say, it's all lives. Like, internalize it. Because if we as black people, that's what we do. We take every goddamn thing personal, and we internalize it. And then all of a sudden,
okay.
the world is against
and
us.
Now, yeah.
No.
Let me just say this.
Brother B, the reason why I say that, because people have been going through this minor slavery and all we've been through
yeah.
over and over and over, and it's in our minds today.
You
and
know
that's
what
why
it
I
is.
Think most people are so angry about that.
But you
know
what
it
anger,
is.
Anger, but that's the thing. Anger is not getting us anywhere. Because
no,
our people refuse to educate ourselves. Listen, get on their playing field. If it's a psychological warfare, step
Give
up your game
them.
Mentally.
This is
but
the thing.
But our people refuse to because they like shiny stuff. Mercedes, Benzes,
Bentleys,
yeah, jewelry, and rap videos. Come on.
My
now.
Thing is this. Now, pardon me, everyone, for interrupting, but I just want to say this, and I'm just going to, whatever way people take it, clearly, because, after all, I'm free to speak my mind on this. When it comes to the police, you need the police. When your home is broken into, who are you going to call? You get robbed in the street, who are you going to call? You're gonna call let's just say you're
yeah.
gonna pick up the phone and call. You're gonna pick up the phone and dial 911, and you're gonna call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the thing is, in the community, you know, and Brother B, Hot Rod, Anutra, Sean, if you feel that what I'm saying is right, please tell me. In this community, now that you brought that up, Brother B. Your neighborhood, the neighborhood you live in, if it's a mess, do what you can to clean it up. Stop messing it up. Clean up the damn thing. Clean it up. Don't sit there and leave it a mess. If someone comes into your neighborhood and causes a mess, your job is to make sure that person leaves. Your job is to sit there and say, you know, and there's this thing now that people have, if you do call the police, you're a snitch. But you have to look out for your neighbors. You have to look out for the people in your neighborhood. You have to look out for yourself.
I get tired of hearing that snitch garbage.
Yeah, that's
just ridiculous.
It's so garbage. And this is the thing that makes us look bad. You know, we're not trying to clean it up. We're not trying to say, let's make an advance. Let's better our community.
Okay, hold
let's
on.
Let's raise our children the right way.
Okay, hold on. We've got 219. Call up. You're on the air.
Peace.
Yes.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello?
Peace.
Hello.
Peace.
What's up,
peace.
Brother? Peace, brother.
Hey,
peace,
what's going
peace.
On, brother?
Dudes, what's good? It's your boy Ty. Peace.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Ty?
Peace. Yeah, Tyrone. He knows dudes, man. You know me, Tyrone.
Hey, Tyrone, man. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, I told you I was going to give your show a little shout out.
Yeah, oh, man.
Salute.
Yeah, man, speak
but,
your
yeah.
mind, brother.
But yeah, like I was saying, we for you to get the community clean and safe, you got to do certain things. And certain things is saying, yo, we got to get rid of everything that's negative in the community.
Yeah,
hello?
Brother. Yeah, hello?
I was breaking up there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Keep speaking, bro.
But, yeah, so that's what we say y'all talking about. Snitching?
Yeah, what do you think about snitching? You got to snitch, right?
Snitch, I'm not saying you on certain aspects, you do got to let certain things be known. On certain aspects. I'm not talking about all aspects of the game, but certain aspects of the game you do. I mean, if you want to clean your community and make it stronger and better, certain things you just got to sweep out.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean by that?
You just, brother, you know what sweeping out when you cleaning house, you just sweeping out a lot of things, a lot of dirt, a lot of stuff that just makes your house uncleansed and it just brings a bad negative vibe to your house.
Mm.
When you clean house, that means you getting rid of every aspect that you can think of that's bringing your community down.
Okay, true. So, but when you do clean out, you know, dirt come back.
I mean, that's where you have to be on a. That's where you have to start setting. How should I say? You should start organizing. You know what I'm saying? When you start organizing and getting yourself situated, everything in order, as you want to put it, you're going to see things start. You know what I'm saying? Feeling better, feeling lighter about things. Because like I said, back in the days, when I came up back in the days, the vibe, everything was light. Everything was light. Everything was peace, man. Everything was peace. You had your knuckleheads here and there. Don't get it twisted. You had your knuckleheads here and there. But not like today. Today is just like, you don't even have to use that word snitch no more. Because it's dudes are giving themselves up already.
Social media.
They giving themselves up already. So it's no such thing as snitching no more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's dog eat dog. It's what they're doing even now. So for us, it's nothing. For us, it's
okay.
Like.
I like how you brought that up because, you know, here we are. Everybody's complaining how cops are killing blacks and vice versa. But what about the community when we killing each other? Blacks killing on blacks. Black on black crime.
I mean,
you hear that all the time.
That's where you have to stop. That's where you have to look at your. We have to look at ourselves in the mirror. Like I tell people, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror, and. We have to see what's wrong with ourselves before we go out there and say this and that. Even though these white Europeans, they taught us how to be this way. They taught us how to be this way now. But I'm not going to get into all that history right there. But we, as a people, we are leaders. We are leaders. And we're losing that identity. We're losing that identity. So as we losing our identity, they're not respecting us no more because they used to respect us back in the days. No matter what you say, they used to respect us back in the days. You know what I'm saying? Even if you were with a crew of guys, they used to be all right. They just kept it moving. Or some of them, if they knew you in that area, they'll come and talk to you, peace, what's going on, how you doing? Come on, you had a couple of good police come up to you, let you slide with something here and there, whatever, if you had a little 40, a little whatever. But nowadays, is the kids are not coming across to be peaceful. You feel me? They're not coming across peaceful. Their music, what they listen to, is what they're going to project. Come on, you can't tell me. Look at the era. We just had this movie, NWA. Look what they were saying. After police, after police. The police was terrified. They was terrified at a time when L.A. was. But I don't even want to get that deep, brothers. But, you know, I, like I said, I'm just giving this, giving y'all radio show a shout-out. I'm getting a little too deep with this, but it was a good time talking with y'all brothers, man. I'm going to call y'all next time, and we're going to build on something.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot.
That's
hey,
what
man,
it is,
brother.
Yo, all right, brother.
One of the,
yo,
one of the things, thanks a lot. One of the things that a friend of mine, he sent me a story just about a couple days ago, as we're talking about what the, you know, what people should be doing and that whole snitching ideal. We're kind of like in that age where it's the quote unquote the digital snitch. And the digital snitch is if you want to look at it with that negative connotation of the people that are recording it or the ones that are putting it up on social media and showing everything. And I don't necessarily call it snitching. I call it what I'm seeing now is basically digital journalism. We're having the people that are out there that are that could have been across the street or could have been in the car behind the car that had the accident. The ones that are out there going out there on street level and are recording everything. Well, the story that my friend sent me was something about who is now going to protect the people that are recording these things with the cops. Because what we're starting to see now is that we're starting to see a lot of the people, the cops that are out there are now obstructing people that are recording what the cops are doing.
Yes,
so there was
a
federal lawsuit that was actually put in by the Legal Aid Society. That was put up on Wednesday. And it started by somebody in Queens, name is Ruben Ahn. He was arrested for filming three officers in Lower Manhattan after attending to a man who was lying on the sidewalk. And despite the fact that he twice backed away to comply with the officers basically continued to obstruct him as he was trying to record this just to see what the cops were doing. And I think this is what's leading to that push for body cams on all police officers. And it's not just in New York, because New York is trying to pioneer it. It's all over the country now. And this is something that has to be done because in the eyes of a lot of people, the police have ultimate power, but who's policing the police? And I think that's what I think the issue is going to be going forward.
Brother B?
Hey, first of all, I love it when people talk about the whole black-on-black crime thing. Listen, white-on-white crime been going on for years, but they never called it white-on-white crime. White people been killing each other for years. Asian people been killing each other for years. Indian people, Muslim people, everybody been killing each other for years. So I don't know where the terminology black on black crime came from. Like,
but you hear it all
this,
the time.
Like,
but you hear it all the time, though. That was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's propaganda. I do believe in propaganda. Listen, even some of our own people adhere to and feed into this propaganda crap. Because, listen, real talk, there's always going to be killings. There's always going to be crime. Something is always going to be going on. Listen, I remember years ago. When I was a kid living in the projects, yo, you had cops, white cops, black cops, who was like, yo, I know your mother. Like, you better get your ass home. Well, I'm going to tell her.
Yeah.
And they wasn't trying to bust
the
cop. Like, yo, like they were community police. But see, once again, you have to go back to now. It's a different type of policing. And I have to really blame, like, it seemed like it started with this Giuliani cat. With this quality of life.
Oh, don't get me started on Giuliani.
Don't get me started on Giuliani.
Don't get me started on Giuliani.
Don't get me started on Giuliani. I got stories
so
to tell.
My whole thing is, you know, then all of a sudden there was a real push to go into the communities and start doing and saying X, Y, and Z. And my whole problem with that is, it's like, yo, if don't break something, don't try to fix something that's not broken. And that's a problem. Like I said, man, you can't sit there and talk about all these cops is bad and this whole epidemic of white cops killing black people. Because you know what? The media is always going to show you what it wants you to see, but it's never going to show you what you need to see.
Okay,
and that's
talk about
my issue.
Talk about the media. I'm sure most of us were disturbed when we saw the cover of the Daily News of the guy from, I think, from Louisiana.
Alton Sterling.
Where they show his body, he's lying on the ground with full blood.
And that was supposed to make you mad. That was supposed to no. It was supposed to make you mad.
And of course, I remember Brother B or someone else posted a picture of that along with someone else being hung. Is there a difference?
Yeah, you lynching. And you said, I remember Brother B because you said, is there any difference? And I remember I answered and said, there is no difference because the story never changes.
So they did it for pure entertainment then, for the KKKs or the people who don't like black people, to see another black person dead on the ground.
Maybe for their entertainment.
It's been going on for years because, you know what, as a matter of fact, let me go back into history for a little bit. Do you mind if I go back into history?
No, we don't have time for that.
Well, no. I'm just going to keep it brief because, you know, whenever there was a lynching, the pictures would be used as postcards. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
They did it for money.
Yes, they did.
Looking at that makes you want to buy the damn paper. Makes people want to talk about it. Means people want to bring it up on the internet, which means they make more money.
And for
the record, I don't know. Well, a few days ago, there was a black man being lynched in Atlanta. Not a lot of people talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah, there was.
You remember the case with the black person in Texas that was dragged to his death on the truck?
Yeah, James Byrd back in 1999.
Yeah, that was all over the news.
It was.
That was all over the news. And the reason...
Go ahead. No, the reason why I think a lot of people are upset and angry right now in general, for a long time, I'm talking about from our generation, you heard about the stories. You know, these stories have been going on forever and ever. You can, like, see them in movies. Well, now you see them live in person due to social media. Or you see pictures, like graphic pictures, and make people more angry. Like I just said, it sells. You tell me when you saw the one in Louisiana, the guy gets shot on the ground by the cop for no apparent reason. You got angry. If you heard about it, you might be upset. But to see it visualized, like, oh, my God, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like what happened with the Ray Rice thing. Everybody was upset because they heard the story, but they didn't do anything about it until they saw the video. It's the optics involved that bring the anger out more.
And you know what else? There was something else too. Do you remember when Eric Garner was killed? That made front page news the next day. You see him lying there fighting off the police. You know, you see him lying there being choked by the police officer.
Because once again, it's about visual. And talk about visual, I need to change the subject a little bit, and talk about Dallas ambush. Where do I begin about Dallas? About the five cops being killed. You say what you want. Anyone, please feel free to call 347-989-8402. But I'm not buying the whole story about what happened in Dallas. I believe there's some conspiracy theories. I think they're hiding something, or they're making something up. I cannot point it right away, but I'm not buying it 100%. So you tell me out of protest, the minute I heard the news say sniper, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not a normal citizen. That's a trained assassin. That's a military background. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to go into that.
Yeah.
But they mentioned the name of the killer, Michael Johnson, whatever his name is.
Micah Xavier Johnson,
yeah.
You know, they didn't bring his picture up right away. Even of the five dead
cops. It took a while for them to bring it up.
So you got his name, but you didn't show up his picture already? Why is that? Same thing with the cops. Is there something about that story that happened in Dallas? I mean, please rest in peace to the officers, of course. No disrespect.
Yeah, definitely.
But to Anitra, there was reports about people celebrating the death of the cops. Because, you know, what's going on between... What's going on in this world today? Do you think that's right?
Absolutely not. I think it's sad. I think it's ridiculous that people would stoop to that level. You don't celebrate anyone. You just don't do that.
But it's something out of anger. You take my life, you take my brother's life, I'm taking your family life. That's how people see it that way.
It doesn't work that way. And by history, obviously, it doesn't work. People forget, like, everyone gets angry, and the key to this is educating. I mean, like, I get it. I know there are things I'm not going to understand. Me being, you know, a Caucasian, I'm not going to understand. Like, the same way you guys don't understand the discrimination that I've gone through. I won't understand what it's like to be a black male walking a street, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand that the key to me is education. I was raised a certain way. I raised my own a certain way. You know, you got to look at a person as a person.
Okay, so Anisha, you do believe there is white privilege in this country, right?
I don't think it's that simple anymore, darling, because I see a lot of rich black folk that get the same kind of privilege. I get out of the same crap. A lot of it has to do with the amount, how big your wallet is and who you know.
Brother,
I don't think it's as easy as it just being a black and white thing anymore. 30 years ago, 20 years ago maybe. This day and age, I think it's a bit more complicated than that because there are plenty of white, black, minority individuals who are wealthy and or have the right connections who get away with some real serious shit.
But see, here's the crazy thing about that whole ideal. There are, true, a lot of wealthy, well-off African-Americans in the United States today that are TV stars, movie stars, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They're famous. They
not
have
even,
a lot of money.
Not
but,
even fame, just alumni.
Yeah.
Went to the right schools, know the right people, are politicians in their own right.
Yeah.
Get away
well,
with
I'm
shit
glad,
all the time.
Well, I'm glad that you guys mentioned this.
Hold on. I want to hear Sean's first.
Okay, go ahead.
But, even with the wealth that they may have or the wealth that they have in their pocket or whatever fame they have, if they drive in a car in the wrong part of the United States, they are going to be looked at as just another N-word. And
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of places in this country that don't even recognize an African-American or Hispanic-American who may be president of a company or may have just filmed a $30 billion movie or has done something in the walks of life that would say, I know you. Me and my kids look at you all the time. You drive in the wrong area, get out the car, hands on the hood, give me your registration. Why are you driving that car? And that's the disconnect that a lot of people don't understand still goes on in this country, especially in certain areas of the Bible Belt area, where there's
mm-hmm.
still a very big, strong ideal against African-Americans and minorities in general. They're going to still look at it, no matter what you do, what you have, that you're still just another one of them.
Oh,
and
I'm
that's
not
the
saying
problem.
It doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that. There's
mm-hmm.
stupidity all over this place, everywhere. You're never going to wipe that out completely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that it's a bit more The bar is a little different than it was 30 years ago. It's not as simple as just the black and white thing anymore. It still exists, but I don't think it's just that simple. And a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that.
Mm.
Okay, K-Dog, go ahead.
You know, I'm glad that we're talking about the rich and famous because in wake of what happened, Carmelo Anthony of the New York Knicks made a very strong statement about it. Now, here's the solution now that I could say. You see, with that comes protest. Now, what I'm gonna say here, I know it's gonna make some noise, but Carmelo Anthony is reaching out to his fellow athletes. Now, if you want to make some noise, the athletes want to make some noise, I say this. For all the brown and black athletes of the NBA, MLB, NFL, you guys want to make some noise and protest about what's going on? Shut it down. If you understand what I mean, it means don't show up for games. That's how you protest.
They're not going to do that.
No, they can't.
Because then they're
going
to lose their own. They're going to lose their livelihoods. You can replace a basketball player. You can replace a football guy. Where they found him, they'll find 100 more. Okay, you're not going to, when you have mouths to feed and people to be responsible for,
true.
It's a lot deeper where what can you throw up your hands. It doesn't work that way.
But, you know what? Believe it or not, you know, times have changed. But this is just something that, just imagine for a minute there, what would happen if these athletes would shut everything down?
They go to the colleges and find more and replace them.
No, not that. But think about this. Money would be lost.
Money's replaceable, darling. They're not
Athletes
are not going to give up what they have. No one would. They're not giving up that check. I'm sorry. But as much pride, if you go up to any of those athletes, that's the thing, they talk such a good game, and this is what I get a kick out of. If when push comes to shove, they're not giving up that check. Guarantee it. You're not giving up 8-9 figures. That lifestyle they've grown accustomed to. Those cars, that house, the glitz, they're not giving that up.
And even more so the endorsement. Because
exactly.
The endorsement will kind of future-proof you from a lot
they're
of stuff.
They're not going to give that up.
You know why I said that? You know why I said this? Because just imagine what would happen. You know, I understand what you're saying, but what do you say if that would have happened? Things would shut down. But as a matter of fact, these athletes, what they need to do is go out and talk to the local politicians. Go out and talk to the senators.
But why athletes? Why can't I just be normal people or celebrities
anymore? I was about to get to that. No, because since we were talking about celebrities, celebrities should do that. You know, I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but
You say celebrities, right? Where is Michael Jordan right now? And where is
Michael
Oprah?
Jordan's making, you know what's sad? Michael Jordan's making money. He's running his company. Michael Jordan just makes money off of people buying his sneakers and other stuff. That's it. Oprah is selling her brand. That's it. And that's the sad part about it. This is what I call, like, not trying to unite, not trying to speak up. Because you know what? In the wake of those shootings, you know, a lot of celebrities, both black and white, spoke up about it. And as a matter of fact, this week I saw Snoop Dogg and The Game protesting about it, and as well as T.I.
But you know what I find interesting? I don't hear white people coming out protesting when a white officer shoots a white person.
Nope.
Oh, because that means you're just, because my mentality is, if you're that stupid to no.
Wait, explain yourself.
When I see two stupid people arguing, okay, like for instance, I get pulled over, I'm going to comply. I'm not going to make a fuss. I'm not going to give you attitude. I'm going to comply, and, you know, you give me attitude. That's 5 minutes of my life, swallow my pride, and move it on, okay? If I see some injustice, shit happens. Is it right? Of course not. Am I going to cry about it? No. If people more successful than me are doing this or doing that or doing this, and am I going to get that jealous bite and be like, oh, they're doing this, they had this hookup, or they got this, or they got this rain? No. I'm going to get my ass up, and I'm going to, you know, pick myself up about it. I don't cry. There's no reason to cry. A lot of people cry, and that bothers me.
We as black people need to stop with the sympathy and the race card.
Yeah, there's a lot of sympathy
involved.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, stop it.
There's
stop
no reason.
It,
I don't need sympathy.
Yeah, again, and I don't need the sympathy and that whole race card thing. Listen, if I did something stupid, or I'm doing something wrong, or I'm doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing, I don't, just because a white cop stops me, it's not, oh, harassment, oh, it's not racist. No, that's not
because,
what it is.
Because, you know what, Brother B, this is the thing. When you're stopped by a police officer, you have to just comply. Just keep your mouth shut. You know you didn't do anything wrong. Now, Brother B, you agree with what I'm saying, right, everybody?
For the most part, yeah, you're right.
If you know you didn't do anything wrong, there's no need for you to wild out. And I said it earlier. There's no need for you to get upset. Chill out. Calm down.
But as
just
I said,
comply.
As has been said before, there have been many times where that same ideology is brought into play when an officer is confronting somebody. You know you didn't do anything. You're complying with them. And just because the police officer is a complete a-hole or he's
right.
having a bad
don't
day,
down,
he's
going
to pick the
level.
Chance to mess with you. And
right.
how you react will determine what goes on, whether you go home
and
or
we,
not.
And we are so much on the defense, we're like, oh, this is injustice. Oh, call Al Sharpton.
Like,
oh, call,
like,
call,
calm
call
down.
Jesus. Everybody wants to start
Sharpton
flipping.
For what? Just calm
but no,
down.
But my whole thing is, but my whole, but that's the thing. The sad part is a lot of us don't know how to calm down.
No,
we're trying to make a spectacle. We're trying to make a scene. We're trying to fight the power. That's not the way to do it.
You want to fight the power? You show them that you're better. You better the situation.
Well, you have to know better to do better. You have
to
know better
to
do better.
And you know what? You have to learn. That has to be instilled in your brain. That's to be instilled in your brain. And this is the thing. Like I said before, get it together.
We've been protesting and marching for a very long time.
It doesn't
Why
help.
Are we still continuing to do this if it's not doing a damn thing at all?
Because we're not raising the conscious level. We're not on their playing field mentally. Listen, David Banner said something very interesting, and it was funny. He said there's only two ways we're really going to get at them. One, of course, I disagree with, and that was, he said, either we start taking their lives, or, and the one I do agree with is, oh, we got to start hitting them economically. And I believe it.
Yes.
And I thought
yes.
about
yeah.
this a while ago. If every cop that killed somebody had to
you take
the
money
out
of their pension.
Exactly. I bet you it would drop. Because
yep,
now you're
going to
be
it.
Held responsible. You're going to be held accountable, and you're going to have to pay, which is going to take money out of your families, off your family's
out
table.
Out of your pension.
And it's
going to
take
do.
The money out of your pocket.
Okay. Funny that you mentioned that, Brother B, because earlier today, the Dallas chief, John, what's his name?
David. Oh, good grief. David Brown.
Thank you. David Brown told basically to the protesters, if you really want to make a difference and do something for the community, join the force. Become a cop. Instead
make
of going
a difference.
Out and protesting.
Make
you
a
agree?
Difference.
Wait, what happened? He said what?
If you want to make a difference instead of protesting, join the police force. Become a cop. And make
well,
a difference
all,
in your community.
Yeah, but most of those people are probably not psychologically fit because, you know what, me personally, I don't really agree with protesting. And people that go out there and protest, like, what do you think you're doing? You're just making a public spectacle of yourself. You're putting a target on your back. That's all you're doing. But we're not taking the necessary steps, the real steps, to ensure our own safety, whether black, white, or whatever. Listen, once again, know the game that you're playing. You can't come to the chessboard. You can't come to the table where they're playing chess with spades. You
mm-hmm.
can't do that. But that's what we keep doing, and we think it's going to change for us. No, it's not going to change. Just because you're implementing this, it doesn't mean that you're going to change the game. The game is deeply rooted. They've been doing it for years. Maybe you need to change your attitude and step up to their level. And it's not like you'll be respected, but you will be like, wow, well, somebody's going to take notice. But we refuse to do it because a lot of us don't want to read and we don't want to educate ourselves. Simple and plain, and it pisses me off. You'll read a song, or you'll read Beyonce's rap song, R&B song, or a dumbass rap song, but you won't read a book about the law,
or you won't read a book about anything, the Black Wall Street or Harriet Tubman. You won't read nothing.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Before you go, Sean, whose fault that is? Because once again, I need to say education is the key. You're right, Brother B. But whose fault is that overall?
The parents.
Us parents.
The parents. I don't think it's just parents. Sometimes you have to be a self-starter. Like, come on, man. Whatever happened to integrity? Whatever happened
Thank
to
you.
Wanting to do things? Like, get off your ass. Stop being lazy.
Exactly.
Want to do something for yourself. Other words, like, people can put a phone in front of their face and do Snapchat and take all types of selfies, but you can't pick up a goddamn book or Google something to learn something, to educate yourself? Come on, man. There's too many opportunities out here for us to step our game up, but we choose
Way too many.
To stay on the bottom stairs.
Yeah.
We choose to stay down in the basement.
You know, when I was growing up as a kid, when I didn't know something, and I would ask my mother, well, what does this mean, like if it's a particular word or a subject or something, my mother would usually tell me, well, you could look it up, or if it was something that she genuinely didn't know herself, if I asked her a question, well, you know what, let's go to the library and look it up. And we'd take a trip to the library, we'd look it up, and then we would make a day out of it. We don't have a lot of people taking that initiative to getting that education there.
Well, guess what? You know what's the problem? The problem is this, is that modern technology has taken over.
Oh, yeah.
People
I'll agree
more
with that.
Time, people are spending more time on their phones and social media more than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's guilty of it.
Yeah.
Whether it is Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever have you.
Then that's what's raising the
kids
now.
Time and time again. And that's the problem. Everyone is on social media. Everyone wants to put their whole business up on social media. Everyone's reading stuff off of social media. Nobody's interested in picking up a book or reading a newspaper.
Okay, before I go to Milton X, because, you know, we have to do the main event, Milton X. Guys, the guy that killed those five cops, was it understandable about his anger towards the cops?
Of course. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna be as blunt as ever, and I'm sure Milton X will agree. Brother Milton X, could you say, oh, yeah?
Speak on it, brother. Speak on it.
All right.
Speak on it.
All right. Let me speak. You know, let me just start by saying this, is that, you know, when a white cop shoots a white suspect, it's not unwarranted like it is with black suspects. They're less likely to be shot even when they aren't than we are. Because, you know, time and time again, how many times do we have to hear of unarmed black men and women being shot to death by police officers? And, you know, the sad part about it is that as I watched the television and saw Alton Sterling lying down on the ground and that cop pumped 6 bullets inside of him, and as I watched Philando Castile sitting in the car alongside his girlfriend as he reached for his ID, his 4-year-old is sitting in the back of that car. That police officer shot 5 bullets and standing there still with the gun still drawn, saying, oh, I told him not to move. Now, you could understand the anger that people feel. Now, do I condone killing police officers? No. But at the same time, you got to see the anger that's being done, because you know what? Time and time again, innocent lives are being taken away by police officers, and the police officers always get away with it. So you could understand the anger that the brother has. You could
hold on 1 second, Brother B. Make your final thoughts before you leave.
Before I get on this train, hope it works. Everybody be safe, love one another, and color ain't not the crayons.
Okay, thank you, Brother B.
Thank you.
Get to work, Brother
B. Stay safe.
Okay. K-Dog, finish up with your points, so I can give it to Milton X.
No, I already finished my point. Time and time again,
okay.
You got to do something. Go ahead, brother.
All right, Milton X, the floor is yours. I'm walking away.
I think about the words of Langston Hughes when he said, I'm paraphrasing, Look at the Negro, all sweet, docile, and kind. Be careful of the day when he changes his mind. So, and that's also the Dallas thing first. If you believe that that's the guy that actually did the killing, because I do have my doubts about that, due to the fact they got the first guy wrong. Now, all this other time, they said, well, this the guy this time. And then he said, he's against Black Lives Matter, against white cops, and this, that, and the third. And he said all this stuff that they said he said, even though we didn't even say his name yet. So, eh, we'll see about that. And also,
so,
the fact
so
that
you're
said,
saying conspiracy then? You smell conspiracy in all this?
Put it this way, they had to pin it on somebody. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I'm just suspicious of this. It just got my brain tingling a little bit. Also, something that's not been talked about, they just couldn't shoot this man. Apparently, they had to use a robot with a bomb attached to it.
Which is the first time it's ever been done in the history of this
exactly,
country.
Exactly, yeah.
Before you go on, Anitra, can you explain that concept, please?
What the reasoning behind them going after us?
Yes.
Okay, realistically, okay, he's a military sniper, okay, which means his training was far beyond a cop's training. And wherever there's one sniper, there's always a backup. They travel in pairs. So for them to use something a little more extravagant really didn't surprise me, because they don't know what they're dealing with.
And also, they could work out an angle. Like, you know what, we're going to blow this son of a bitch up right now. So carry on.
One man, we did all that for one guy.
Don't
okay.
know, wasn't there.
Only in America. Only in America, that's all I feel about that.
Okay, 921. We have a new caller, 921. You on the air.
Yeah, how y'all doing, man?
Hello, hey, thank you for calling, and your name, please, and what's on your mind?
Yeah, this is Nas in Atlanta. You guys are discussing Micah Johnson, and the crazy thing about it is there's historical precedent for it. There was Charles Johnson out of New Orleans, who, after being accosted by them, decided to fire back. I think he killed 7 and wounded upwards of 10. And they ended up burning the building he was in and carrying his body across the city and having a race riot where they just killed any black person they could get their hands on. Then you get Mark Essex in 73, who was on top of a hotel, a former military guy, and he killed, I think, 10 of them and wounded a lot more. And they ended up sending a military helicopter after him and hit him with over 200 rounds while he was on top of that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, there's precedent for this. Ever since he's been here, he's been at war with the police when they shifted from the slave patrol to the police. And we've been at war with them ever since. And these things have to be not only adjusted, but actually looked at and discussed and fixed. And until that happens, we're going to do this every summer. And, you know, it's a sad thing, but love to see the young people out and old people as well. People are out here representing, at least being seen, and we got a lot of work to do in order to root a lot of these people out. And it's funny as hell to me for somebody to tell us stop snitching while they got that thin blue line that none of them are willing to cross if they got so many good officers. So
true indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. You're right about that. That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, interesting situation to look at, man.
Oh, that's very true, but okay, you told me that. What about the man that got hung from the tree? Why there was not a lot of exposure on nationwide news about that?
Well, I'm in Atlanta, and we got the story late, but it's in Piedmont Park, which is probably the most popular park that people go to, which makes it even more weird. There's rumors that there were KKK pamphlets out that week around that area. So then we get that, and we immediately start bucking and asking for answers. And the mayor's office now has passed it over to the FBI, and now they're investigating. So we're waiting on more information as we speak. But the autopsy, you know, and everything else is going to tell the story. So we're going to know, because they were claiming suicide initially.
Oh, suicide.
Yeah, that's kind of happened right now
during all the mess. You know, it's happened during throughout the whole mess of the crisis in America right now.
Something doesn't add up.
If it was a suicide, where would a chair be to stand up on?
Exactly.
To hang himself. But,
indeed.
You know what it is.
Indeed. And what did he do? Did he drive to the park? Did he catch a ride? Did he catch an Uber to the park and decide to do this? Why wouldn't he do this on his own home?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Weird situation.
That's what I
want to
know, man, because, you know, wow, you can't just find a man hanging like that. You can't just find a man hanging and immediately suicide, because people who commit suicide, they'll jump off a building or jump out of a window, jump off a bridge, or just do it at home or shoot themselves in the head. But hanging
okay.
in a chair?
Okay. Don't give any pointers out there how to commit suicide.
Yeah. I was just about to say the same thing.
Yeah, now on this show, please. But what do you think is a – from one? I'm sorry, I forgot your name from Atlanta. What do you think is a solution? Nas, thank you for calling. What do you think is a solution now? What we need to do to get us back on track? Because these cop killing, these black on black, whatever you want to call it, have been going on for years and years. Protests are not helping. March is not doing a thing. Politics are crooked. It's like, what can we do next? We all frustrated about what's going on in this world today. What should we do next?
Well, we got to keep fighting with the tools we have, and we also have to just outright make demands that a high school diploma or a GED is not good enough to be a police officer. They have to raise the standards. Second part of that will be America has to confront its racist past and present. Not only should it be taught more in schools and get a full understanding of what it is, but there has to be some retribution and some actual amends for it. This whole idea of that was in the past, oh, well, has to go. That's not solving the problem. So the same way that the Japanese were given reparations, same way the Jewish people of Israel were given reparations, black America deserves reparations to build these communities, build businesses, institutions, and rebuild our schools with us as the people who are actually administering the educational process. So it's a long fight. The plans are already out there. Our ancestors have laid them down for decades. It's a thing of, are we willing to follow them, and are we going to start liking each other? Are we going to start trusting each other? This whole individualistic thing that we bought into, it's a scam. We need to think in group efforts the same way other groups are acting against us. So it's a complicated thing, but it's not complicated when you actually go to the black ancestors and what they left behind for us to study. The plans are there.
Okay, so one personal question, you don't mind me asking. Do you have any children?
No, I don't.
Nieces or nephews? Like, basically, how do you talk to the kids about this situation, what's going on in the world today?
Well, I've talked before and run an after-school program as well. I speak on the things that I can for that are age-appropriate. And as people get older, you know, you can kind of give them a little more. But there's nothing wrong with making kids aware of what's going on and how they exist in this moment. History tells people the past and how they got to the present. And it also gives them an idea of what they can do in the future. So I think I'm really, really big on history and all of the STEM subjects that we need to get into and tech. So everything that every other group can do, we can do. So that's my major focus and my idea in looking at it when we're talking about black children and the youth especially.
Yeah, and all right. Here's something else that just got to be brought up also, is that the only time that any of this is going to actually work is if the police in general, as a whole, actually acknowledge and recognize that there's a systematic problem within the departments around the country. And you can't do anything about something you don't acknowledge or recognize. And
exactly.
There seems to always be a systematic denial of problems involved. When you hear people like Giuliani always come out and say something along the lines of the police, and one of the things he said was, if you're nicer to the police, things won't happen, acknowledge that the police are doing their job and all that other. All of that stuff is all well and good if it actually worked. The problem is when you don't have that fundamental connection between the community, the people that you're supposed to protect, and the ones that are in the position to do the protecting. There's not going to be any trust involved within the community toward those people protecting you. So they have to acknowledge that there is a disconnect and work on that as a solution. And that has to come with retraining, going into the communities, actually listening to what the community is saying, and actually acknowledging, you know what, the way we work our system, it just doesn't work. Because how many times every other week we're hearing something along those lines? Go to Chicago and listen to all of the people that have been killed, African-Americans, teenagers that have been killed by cops just within the last year. Or you can go out to New Orleans or in Florida or in Los Angeles. This happens all over the country. The problem is there's no recognition and no acknowledgement of fault. And that's the biggest problem.
You know what?
Yes, sir.
Sean, I'm going to tell you why. It's because they don't have to, because there's no mechanism in place to punish them for doing so.
There's no checks and balances.
You know what it is?
Exactly.
And also, let me just say this. Time and time again, we keep hearing about these shootings all over the country. Some of them are not even reported. It never makes the news.
Okay, guys, I got to wrap it up soon. Nas, let me
just piggyback on what the brother was saying, because both of y'all just said some beautiful stuff. Yeah, they're here to keep the status quo. So no matter what, they're going to use the fraternal order of the police to make sure they protect them in every case and tilt everything in their favor so it's hard to get an indictment. And like you said, beyond that, there's a whole lot of them that have to be off the force. And we have to start putting our own kids into the force in our localities. We got 80%. Black population in the area, the police force should not be 80% white. That's a backwards way of thinking and doing things. So we definitely have to get African-centered, real black people within these departments, not graham crackers. And to that Giuliani point, look, man, they brought Giuliani on to say those things. Always look at the bigger picture. You know how
Giuliani is.
You know
he's a big-time bigot, man.
He's a raggedy bigot. But the fact that they booked him for that show means they wanted him to say those things. They got their ratings. They got to turn around and act like they gave an even-handed interview. And we have to listen to the fallout of other people parroting the stupid stuff that Giuliani said. So, yeah, man, beautiful stuff y'all are saying. And much respect to y'all for doing the show and talking about important issues.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate that, man. Tune in next week. All right, Milton X, Kato, I'm terribly sorry, but you got to go too. Thank you so much for your input. Till next time.
Hey, man.
Right.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right? All
right.
Thank you.
All right. We got 2 minutes left, guys. Anything you want to say before I shut you down?
Anitra?
No, just like, I really feel like a broken record. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The key is education, and we need to educate our youth. That's really what it is at the end of the day. And there needs to be consequences to people's actions, real consequences.
Okay. All right, Sean, 20 seconds.
I think in all of the anger that we've all displayed, what we've kind of started doing with this show is started to try to get some kind of solutions as opposed to just being angry and yelling and at the top of our lungs. And the next thing we start doing is kind of getting those solutions to make sure that we get this and make sure that it doesn't happen as often as it's happening. It'll never completely stop, but it has to be curbed or else who knows what's going to happen.
Okay, and my final point, ladies and gentlemen, I will probably say this every week. Eat, drink, smoke, be merry. You will have less problems, the less you don't care, maybe the more happy you'll be, maybe the less fights we have, less chaos going around in the world. Sean, Anitra, the rest of the guys, thank you so much for probably one of the best shows we ever did in a long time.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being part of my life and part of my family life. Yesterday we did a nice trip together and my son had like one of the great times he had thanks to you guys.
Yes, thank you. No problem.
So,
it was a good day.
Yes.
So, folks, tune in next week to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the Hot Rod with
Sean Black and
Anitra B.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we did this. We did this show sober tonight. That's how serious we were tonight. Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you all. Have a good night. God bless.
Good night, gentlemen.